The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then Jesus said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the stewardship committee doesn't plan it this way, but I think there probably couldn't possibly be a better text for Commitment Sunday than this particular text from Matthew 22. Now, if your tradition isn't Lutheran, Commitment Sunday is somewhere between a public radio pledge drive and a Baptist altar call. We ask you to think about what it means to be part of the church, what it means to be part of the body of Christ, what it means to be in ministry at First Lutheran Church. And so we have this story from Matthew 22. Some Pharisees lay out a trap by getting their disciples, not the Pharisees themselves, but their little minions, to go ask Jesus some questions to perhaps entrap him. And the question is it right to pay the imperial taxes? Well, it's election season, so just saying the word taxes makes you all bristle, right? Like, we're too taxed already. But, this was not a representative democracy. Rome was occupying the land. And the Jewish people very much felt like they had a thumb on them all the time. And in fact, the Emperor Tiberius's head was on the coin, kind of like the Lincoln penny, right? And so that would have been a form of idolatry to a good Jewish person of the day, even having the coin around. So you've got the Pharisees' disciples, and they're trying to trap Jesus into a question about, will you support the emperor or not? Which, either way he answered that, could have had him put to death. And he says, "Well, show me the money." And lo and behold, these good Jewish assistants pull out money that they shouldn't have even had on them, because it's a form of idolatry to see that image. But Jesus says, "Okay, so whose image is on that money?" And they say, "Well, the emperor's." And Jesus is so good at responding to a question with a question. He says, "Okay, then give to the emperor what is the emperor's. But then give to God what is God's." Now, that's kind of a tricky question answer, as well. Because what is God's? Well, Jesus, are you talking about what proportion of what I have should go to God? Are you talking about something else? One of my last congregations had a stewardship chair. I was just about as excited about stewardship as Marna is here. And he used to say, you know, we need to break people out of the habit of tipping God. That it's not that we give of what we have to God, but it's we give back from all that God has given to us. But we go back to Jesus' response here in Matthew 22, and he says, okay, whose image is on the coin? If the image of the coin is Emperor Caesar Tiberius, great. Give to the emperor what is the emperor's, but give to God what is God. Well, what does Scripture say? God created man and woman in his image. So, also from Galatians, for it is not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So we are the image of God. Now I hope you receive that as the best of good news. Because being in the image of God is not about being whether you're male or female, but it's about living and breathing as creative, creating spiritual beings that have compassion and love and concern, not just for us and ours, but for the whole world. We are made in the image of God through baptism. Someone was just asking me this as a trivia question. Pastor, why does the baptismal font in these old churches have 8 sides to it? Who knows? Tammy knows. You went to seminary. The baptismal font has 8 sides to represent new creation. See, God created the earth, as we tell the story, in 7 days. Well, he did it in 6 and rested on the 7th, okay? But the New Testament tells us that in baptism, we are a new creation. That God set aside a whole new day, called it the 8th day. We are new creation because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so that 8th side represents that when we are baptized, we become new creation. Still made in the image and likeness of God, but washed clean, redeemed, purchased, to go out and live as Christ lives in us. And so as we think about being made in the image of God, being new creation, we think about what it is to give back to God of what God has given us. That old word in this Matthew 22 text used to be render unto Caesar. And people in previous generations would have known that word render to mean give back. You see, we don't give to God what is ours. And that's probably the biggest misconception that we get. And I think by the time we're 2 years old, or maybe even younger, we have a concept of mine. Right? You ever fought with a 2-year-old or something? You both reduce yourself to that level. It's mine. But as Christians, know that it's very freeing to think of all that we have as God's. And so when we return, whether we're returning love or we're returning service, or we're returning a monetary gift. It's all from God in the first place, and we're just returning it. I had a friend in my last congregation. Now, I did not always understand stewardship, and I think I'm still growing in how I understand stewardship. And I remember my parents in the pews groaning about Stewardship Sunday, and I anticipate that maybe there's a reason why the pews on this side are just a little bit emptier than usual. So we announced it's Commitment Sunday. I remember my parents just detesting Commitment Sunday because they always felt like they were being guilted into something. And I hope that's not how this ever comes across from me. We are already gifted. And a friend of mine from my last parish really taught me about this. His name was Bob, and I think I've told you about him before. Bob was a construction worker, owned his own construction company, and very, very faithful person. But Bob was a roughneck when he was a kid, and he'd gotten into a lot of car accidents and accidents, things that were his fault, weren't his fault, and he believes that God healed him. He's broken just about every bone in his body. And, you know, whether it's a spiritual healing or a physical healing or medicine helps the spiritual, I don't know. I can't tell you that. But he believes that God was involved in his healings. And so he's very, very grateful to God. And then he learned about giving and being generous. And he said, you know, I didn't start out this way. But I learned that God pours gifts my direction. And the thing that's the most fun for me is that I can shovel those gifts back toward God's use. And the faster I shovel, the faster God shovels it at me. Now, I'm not claiming that anybody's going to get wealthy by being a good steward. But there is blessing in being a generous person. I was just reading something Dave Ramsey wrote. You know, he said, you know, about financial management and such. He said, you know, generous people are happier people. But he doesn't necessarily believe it has to do with, you know, being, blessed from above. But he said, you know what, when you're a generous person, people around you sense that. They sense there's an openness about you, and they are drawn towards you. Eighth day stuff, actually. That's how we call it in the church. You are new creation, made in the image of God. Know that God will provide for all of our needs, which is why we can help provide for the needs of others. Over the generations, we've been so blessed by marvelous stewards in this congregation. People who first decided that they should create this building and in their modest stewardship said, no, the peak shouldn't be at 85 feet. We're just modest Swedes. 65 feet is plenty tall. Provided this marvelous worship space for us and the generations since that have cared for it. But we're not just about the building. We're about reaching out to our neighbors, and we feed nearly countless people through our food pantry. The event Friday night made it possible for us to raise the funds to serve a meal at Community Meal, Prairie Kitchen. That's it, I knew I wasn't gonna get that. The countless ministries that we're partnered with the ELCA that allows us to be involved in a worldwide malaria campaign, worldwide HIV campaign, Foods Resource Bank, which is this afternoon, right? And so much more. To be part of the church is to be part of the body of Christ, not just in this space working for us, but in the world working for God. And so I thank you all for your stewardship. I thank you all to remember that you are made in the image of God. And when God looked back at creation, what did God say? Wow, that's good. That's good. Remember that you are delightfully made by God and in the image. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.